three places, Matthew 24. Now, I'll go backwards so you can hold them. 2 Corinthians 6. You can just hold that. That's one finger. Do y'all even bring your Bibles anymore? Everybody's got phones. Am I that far back? Okay, all right. We still got some onion skin flippers in here. I love hearing those onions. They feel, no paper feels like Bible paper. So those of you that are flipping onion skins, put one finger at 2 Corinthians 6, put another finger at Luke 17, and then go to Matthew 24. How about that for instruction? Y'all say a quick prayer for me. Every now and again, my sugar drops off. It is no fun. That's why I went to the back, got some orange juice in the back. Orange juice is supposed to be one of the best things that you can do for that. I guzzled that thing down, and it doesn't seem like it's even touching it. It makes me just jumpy and jittery. So I'm going to be okay. If I start freaking out, saying weird stuff, y'all forgive me. It was the sugar. It's not the anointing at all. It's the sugar drop. I don't know why I struggle with that. You would think the last thing in my body, the last level that would drop would be sugar because I got it so stocked. But for some reason, it just plummets every now and again. It's called hypoglycemia. It's no fun. Doesn't happen often, like every couple months maybe. But today it decided to show out just a little bit. And just it's just like that. You know how it feels like all of a sudden you got the flu? Like you were doing good, and all of a sudden your bone structure went away and got wobbly. Just like that? That's kind of like how it feels. So I know what it is, though. It's sugar. And in a few minutes, it should be fine. So Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is talking about the signs of the end of the age. Go down to verse 3. He's just got through telling his disciples. They're looking at the temple, and they're talking about the temple. And he said, let me tell you about the temple. Not one stone will be left upon another. And they're like, what? And we pick up in verse 3. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. So they've got a private conversation with Jesus. This is something that concerned them enough that even though they were around him all the time, they said, we need to have a little private conversation about this one. We need some understanding on this one. So the disciples came to him privately, and they said, tell us, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. Watch out that no one deceives you. Letting you know, first indicator right there, people are going to try to deceive you. So watch out that no one deceives you. If that's the first thing out of his lips, you got to understand, he's going right to the source of where the problem will come. It'll be deception, and people will try to deceive you. You know what it is to deceive someone? It's to talk them out of something through false reasonings. Don't let yourself get talked out of this by false reasonings. This is the standard. Let me tell you how much I believe in it. I believe in this. It's the standard. And if I quit believing in it tomorrow, it's still the standard. Something happened with me, not with that. Okay? So that's what you got to know about it. So he said this about it. Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. So we're supposed to keep our peace. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And these are the beginning of birth pains. Another translation says the beginning of sorrows. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness. Not just because of wickedness, but because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. So he's warning them, and he keeps throwing this word into the mix. He keeps throwing this word. The word is many, many, many. I think there's probably a good clue in just that one word, many, to be careful about when you see groups of many. When you see groups of many, be careful for that. Make sure that you're not there just to be entertained or I'm just warned. I mean, he's saying many over and over again. So a commentary about this, Matthew Henry's commentary, and I really love to listen to or to read Matthew Henry's. She's winning. Way cuter. Only thing we got is the bald head. That's the only thing. That's the only thing we got, and I can't compete. Christ preaching, this is what Matthew Henry said. Christ preaching was not to gratify curiosity of his disciples. Talking about this passage in Scripture. The disciples got Jesus to themselves. They got a private setting with him, and they were curious. But Matthew Henry said this about this. He said, Christ's preaching was not to gratify curiosity of his disciples, but to guide their consciences and conversations. How about that? It was not to put a show on for them. You know that Jesus, if he wanted to, he could have put on a big show. He could have said, watch this. Watch me go in there and mess up the enemy's work. Watch me heal all these people. When he did do those things, he would turn around and say, footnote, don't tell anybody. Very different than it is today, right? If we do anything today, we want to get it up on the screen. We want to get it on feed. We want to get it where everybody can see it. We want to put on bulletin boards. We don't even have those anymore. We want everybody to see it. And he basically said, don't draw any attention to that. He didn't want to be known as that. He wanted to be known as the one that will save your soul. Okay? But his preaching wasn't to gratify curiosity of his disciples, but to guide their consciences and conversations. Your consciences and your conversations. Your consciences is what's going on inside of you. It's that thing inside of you. It's that place where your parameters are found, where you know a person, where their boundaries are set. I'll go this far. I won't go there. I won't do that. And you know what they'll do and what they won't do because their speech will tell on them. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. What comes out of you was inside of you before it got out of you. And this is what, we all know 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We know the love chapter, what it says about love. But down at the end, it says this. It says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put childish things behind me. So I'll just present this to you. Maturity shows itself in your speech, in your understanding, and in your thinking. Yes, it does. In your speech, because your speech comes from your understanding. In your understanding, because your understanding comes from your thinking. And if it's childish, what comes out of you is because you thought of it as a child, you understood it as a child, and now you speak it as a child. But when your thinking changes, when he takes your mind and you give him your thoughts, we've talked over and over about the renewed mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How can I can't just transform myself. I'm not a transformer. I'm not this and I'm that. I'm not this and I'm that. You can't push a button on me. Transforming, he describes this by the renewing of your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Let me just break that down for you the way I understand it. I cannot please God and do the things that he would want me to do and do the things that prove him his good, acceptable, perfect will without my mind being transformed. Because the proof of me doing those things that bring him glory is that my mind, the proof of my mind being transformed is that I do those things so that I can do those things, right? By the renewed mind. So take that back. My renewed mind now is going to affect my thinking in the right way. And my renewed mind is going to help me out with my understanding of things. What do I understand? My understanding is important. I've said this many times. My understanding is so important because with my understanding, that's what I stand under. So if I'm standing under something, what comes out of my mouth is what I stand under. He renews my mind as I mature in him. He renews my mind. That has an effect on me that changes my understanding of things. Now I see it his way instead of my way. And now what comes out of my mouth is proof that he did something to me on the inside. Amen? So maturity proves itself in speech, understanding, and thinking. And I love how Matthew Henry says, he said, Christ's preaching was not to gratify curiosity of his disciples, but to guide their consciousness and their conversations. The scripture that stuck out to me in this is verse 12. Because of the increase of wickedness, one translation says, because of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. The love of many will grow cold. The love of many because of lawlessness. It's not talking about any love as we would even understand it as a human being would understand it. The word love right there is translated into the agape love. And as you understand that, you'll understand that he can only be talking about the love of Christian brothers right there. So when he's talking about the many, he's talking about us. And he said the love of many. In this translation, it says a lot of people, most. That's scary to me. That's room for caution, like reason for caution right there. Like, where am I fitting in with this, Lord? Where am I fitting? Let me measure myself right here. Let me make sure that I'm taking that love and that my love is where it's supposed to be, because that word love broken down for this particular verse, the agape love, it means this. It means that love of Christians towards Christians. So there's supposed to be a love of us towards us. And it is also of the love of men towards God. And then it is also of the love of God towards men. And then it's the love of God towards Christ and the love of Christ towards men. So in other words, it's a love that's going on like this that helps me love like this. And when that starts diminishing, something's wrong in the body of Christ. And he's calling it out. And yes, it is very relevant to today. And he said, they're saying, when are you going to come back? And he said, it's going to be like this. This is how it's going to be when I come back. It's going to be like this. And it calls lawlessness is also translated as iniquity. Now just the typical definition of iniquity is this: immoral or grossly unfair behavior. I say that's pretty prevalent today. Immoral or grossly unfair behavior. But biblically, when it comes to that word of lawlessness, it's talking about unrighteousness and contempt and violation of law. Contempt and violation of law. Well, just in the United States, as far as it goes with just law, just the men in blue, they've never been more hated than they're hated right now. Amen, Pastor John. It is what it is. But it is what it is, but Jesus said it before it was what it was. That's where you better pay attention. When all of a sudden something's going on that hadn't been going on, and you looked and say, oh, where'd that come from? Oh, yeah, Jesus said that. Lawlessness would abound. Oh, we're living in that day right now. And when will he come back? When lawlessness is abounding. When the love of many is growing cold and waxing cold. And he's not talking about love outside the body of Christ. He's talking about love on the inside of the body of Christ. So we've already broken down a long time ago into denominations. I believe in Jesus, but I believe in him this way. I'm just saying. I'm not trying to pick a fight. I'm saying this is what we're fighting about. We're so. If you want to see America divided, show up on a Sunday and go anywhere. Heaven won't be like that. Let me start off first, because I'm non-denominational. There won't be a non-denominational heaven as far as non-denominational being on the sign, because if you take that, actually, you're making that into a denomination, calling it non-denominational. There it goes, being denominational. So I'm throwing myself in there, you know. But it's not going to be a Baptist heaven. Not going to be a Catholic heaven. Not going to be a Presbyterian heaven. I believe those people are going to be there. It's not going to be a Pentecostal heaven as far. Do you understand what I'm saying with that? It's not going to be like he walks over to the non-denominations and say, you guys won. Come on, rest y'all. Ha ha. It's not going to be like that at all. It's going to be those that believe in him and those that are under a king. So be careful that you're under the king. In a kingdom, king, dominion, the dominion of the king. Inside of the dominion of the king, that's where the kingdom is at, because the king has dominion and the king has say-so. Everybody in the kingdom bows to the king. Flat rate. Y'all ain't got all day. Y'all ain't serious, because we had to stay a long time. But I'm trying to give it to you this every week so you understand. There's a preaching of the kingdom, and I've said this over and over. Getting saved is free, but the kingdom will cost you something. It'll cost you your will. It'll cost you what you want to do. It'll cost you what your flesh will stand up and say, this is what I want. So I'm gonna leave it alone for a second, and I'm going to circle back, and y'all going to say, okay, now you're preaching. Okay? Lawlessness. Let's go check it out in a different scripture. Luke 17. I'm going to pick up with verse 24. He's talking about the coming of the kingdom of God. Luke 17:24. For the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. But first he must suffer many things. And be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the day of Noah. Uh-oh. so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, being given in marriage up to the day that Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It'll be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. Two examples. One of them is Noah, and the other one is Lot. One of them is Noah, one of them is Lot. Am I reading it wrong? Is that what it says? He said, you don't know what it'll be like? It'll be like that. What he is saying is, one thing you could say is, what it was in the day of Noah and in the day of Lot, not a lot has changed. It's still like that. And this is actually for all of us. But we're doing the same things that they were doing then. And I know that you could say certain things about Lot's day, and you could say certain thing about Noah's day, and you would be right. But what I got to tell you what the Lord showed me about it. In the day of Noah, one man was preaching the truth. And most people weren't getting it. And he only was able to save his family. You better make sure that you've got his ark and you're getting your family on it. Yeah. Somebody was preaching the truth is what I get out of Noah's day. Somebody was preaching the truth. And you're not going to preach the truth if you're not sticking real close to that word. And that's how you know right there. Not just because it sounds good. Let me tell you how you'll be deceived, because it'll be sounding better than what you were thinking. That's how we deceive people, when we tell them something that sounds better than what they're thinking. So Noah was saying something, and most people weren't getting it. They were going right on with life. But Noah was able to save his family. Well, let's look at Lot. What was happening with Lot? It said, you know that Lot lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he got used to everything that was going on, so much so that when the angels came and they wanted to take the men and tear down the house and get those men out and have their way sexually with those men, this is how bad Lot was into the middle of all that. He said, take my two virgin daughters. They've never been with the men. Take them instead. There's no two visitors that's ever going to show up to my house and get that kind of privilege. But it said this. It said that the day that when Lot walked away, fire and brimstone fell down. There will be some that walk away from the sin. I'm trying to draw out what I can draw out of it. For Noah, I draw this. Somebody was preaching the truth and a few people were listening. For Lot walked away from it. And even his wife, it said his wife was behind him. So here goes Lot. And she should have been looking at his back, but she looked back. I read some quick commentary just this morning in my little cubby over there. It talked about how women, when the man led, the wife was to walk behind the man and follow his back. So she broke that because something was drawing her back. Don't even look back. Don't even look back. Don't even look back. Because it's this strong. The Bible says this about the Spirit of God inside of us. It said the Spirit's willing. Another translation says the Spirit's ready. And it follows that with giving you a very full and in-depth description of the flesh. And it says, but the flesh is weak. In other words, your spirit, His Spirit living inside of you is always ready, but the flesh is weak. Paul said this. He said, there are things that I want to do, and I don't do those things. And he said, there's things that I don't want to do. That's the things that I do. You better be careful about those things. It says this. It says, the Spirit is willing, the Spirit is ready, but the flesh is weak. That word weak was translated to mean without strength. The flesh is without strength. But you're like, but Pastor John, the flesh is tough to deal with. It's tough to deal with, yeah. But the Bible said the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. Without strength. The flesh is without strength. But what happens when you are weak? Here's another definition. I'm going to help you. Another word, a translation of that word weak was sick. The flesh is sick. What do we do for anything that is sick? What do we do for something that is without strength? We give it something to eat. Your flesh fed is not weak anymore. Your fed flesh, you know how bad your fed flesh can be. You know how much your starving flesh can eat, and it's always more than you intended to feed it. I have never, in the years that I've pastored, I have never dealt with a sin conflict, ever dealt with a sin conflict that did not involve somebody feeding the flesh. The trail always came back to somebody fed some flesh. And that's why you got this. Don't act like you can't have victory over flesh. You can. Otherwise, the blood isn't as strong as we thought it was. Blood's just a little energy drink that we get on Sunday. Like, one of the little things called Prime, or the Prime drinks, or what? Some of the little monsters. Yeah, that's a good name for it right there, Monster. I had a little Red Bull. I had something, that a little pick-me-up. The blood will never lose its power. But if you don't have the blood applied and active in your life, and you don't have a renewed mind, let me give you another definition of iniquity. Because of lawlessness. Well, iniquity is particular sin. Iniquity is not like all the other sins. Iniquity is the sin that bothers you. And we all got one of those. And, well, if you don't think that you've got iniquity in your life, one of the things that are iniquity is lying. Don't lie to yourself. Everybody's got something. Everybody's got something. Like, Pastor John, are you mad? Nope. But I'm going to tell you the truth. Let me tell you something that flesh is like. There's a movie that came out, I think, in the 80s. Had to be the 80s. Had to be 80s. It's called gremlins. Your flesh is like gremlins. They were cute in the beginning. You remember the three rules that came with he goes into this Oriental shop. He finds this little box. Inside of it is this cute little animal. And making these cute little noises. And he has to have it. And he ends up buying it. He takes it home. And then, like, there's a great responsibility that comes with these little gremlins. Three things you can't do. You can't let them see light. It'll hurt them. Y'all ain't never heard anybody get an amen out of gremlins. Amen number two. You can't let them touch water, they'll multiply. You know that you're mostly water, right? You know you're mostly water. You came from dust, and you'll return to dust even though you're mostly water. So figure that one out. But you're mostly water. So them little gremlins were cute. But if they saw light, it hurt them. And those little gremlins were cute, but if you touched them with water, you multiplied them. And the last thing, and this was the most important, whatever you do, don't feed them after midnight. It gets quiet. I know the difference when it gets quiet. My dad used to give me a curfew. He'd say, I'd be like, Dad, all my other friends get to hang out now. He said, this was his thing with it. He said, but nothing good can happen after that time. Anybody ever heard that? Nothing good can happen after that. Feed your little gremlin after midnight and see what happens. Says he turns into monsters and I'll quit. I'm just trying to compare something. If you feed it, you'll pay a price. Now, Jesus has given this great teaching and this great teaching from Jesus and this great teaching from His Word. It's His Word. It's the best. Problem is today, instead of having a Jesus that would tell you what you needed to hear, what we've got is cool Jesus. Cool Jesus. Cool Jesus. Jesus is cool. You ain't heard him like this. He's really cool, though. He's a high-five kind of Jesus. Oh, the holy, no, it's your grandpa stuff. Back off of that. He's cool. He's cool. He's relevant. Cool Jesus requires relevance so that you could swallow him. Cool Jesus requires proper lighting and smoke and mirrors and all. I'm not just being mean. I'm not saying that all that's bad. Let me continue. Cool Jesus requires ambiance. Cool Jesus requires acceptance and inclusion in a really cool Jesus requires a hashtag. We got to water him down. He said not. Do you understand that Jesus, his name from the beginning was Word? Do you understand that? In John, the first chapter, it says this: in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Nothing that has ever been made or ever was created was made without him. He's been from the beginning. He's been from from the beginning. Cool Jesus. The problem with cool Jesus is that he won't teach us to live close to him. Cool Jesus will teach us to live on the farthest extreme stretches from his grace and live right there. I'm thankful that his grace stretches a really long way. But I will not be responsible for teaching you that you can go out here and live any kind of way that you want to live, and that still glorifies God because you like him. Second Corinthians 6. It says this back to his word. Because it is relevant. The thing about his word is it is relevant. The thing about his word is that the Holy Spirit doesn't need an ambiance. I went to, took our youth years ago when we had a large youth group. I took our youth group to a winter fest, and they're playing the song Party in the USA. They didn't learn that at Sunday school. That's the only thing. They did not learn that song at Sunday school. But we had to play the music we thought that would settle the kids down and make them and draw them in and all this and create an ambiance, and then we can move. If you got to trick somebody into Jesus, he did not die so you could trick somebody into him. Second Corinthians 6. Let's start with 14. I think I did tell you 14. Okay. I changed it. You see right there on the note, I changed it. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Or what harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will live with them, and I will walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. I've said it many times. I was taught that this holiness, this perfect holiness, was getting everything right on the outside of you in case somebody ever saw you someplace. You would look the right way. You would dress the right way. And you'd fit in with everybody at this church. But he's saying this perfect holiness is being cleansed from everything that contaminates flesh and spirit. What I was being taught was I could get my flesh looking right, but I realized I had a problem with my spirit being right. Even if I dressed it up, that spirit was still nasty. Can I tell you that you can take a pig and wash him, and put him inside of a mansion, put lipstick on him, and perfume, and a nice set of clothes on a pig. But turn your back on that pig, and he'll go right back to his wallow.
And that's how it is with our flesh. We can dress everything to look right for Sunday morning, but Monday's coming. And Sunday afternoon is coming if we just want to be completely real. This can't be something that we just do on a Sunday morning. This has to be our life. This has to be what emits out of us because of a change that happened in us. And there's my pastoral message again for today. Aren't they fun? I am not trying to get, I'm obviously not trying to win an award of people liking me. But you got to leave here knowing the truth. And you got to understand that these pastoral messages that I'm bringing you to the summer, throughout the summer, they're to help you. And I said they're like fence posts that God has put in your life and wrapped it in a fencing of truth. And he's saying, stay on this side. Stay inside of my kingdom. Stay. The umbrella goes so far and then you're exposed. Stay. Don't step outside of it and wonder why you got wet. Stay inside of it. These messages are to draw us in because the scripture says we all like sheep have gone astray. It's in the sheep to do it. It's a responsibility that I have to you, to preach his word to you. Series will come back in the fall when everybody comes back and all the kids get in school and the vacations are over. And that's when I can expect everybody to be here. Right now, I don't. I'm not crazy. I know I got a vacation coming up. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to go down and see how clear that Myrtle Beach water really is they've been talking about. His word is true. And we're responsible not to just hear his word, but to do his word. And there's a huge difference between the two. Whichever one of these. Huge difference between the two. Doing his word, not just hearing it. Hearing it, yes, but not just hearing it. Hearing his word and doing his word. My prayer for myself and my prayer for you is that God, help me not to be one that just hears the word. Help me to be one that hears the word and does the word. It's peace that comes inside of that. It's peace. Peace, just that. Anxiety to leave. How many of you love for your life to be done with anxieties? Done with them. Peace of God. That's what I want. I want the peace of God in my life. It passes all understanding. His peace. It's a good time for that right there. You can be where you're at, or you can come down here. These things are called altars. You don't see them in many places. They're common when I was a kid, and I had Bill to make us some. you can come down and use these. And you can talk to God about your flesh. And you can talk to God about anything that would draw you away from Him. There's always a way back to Him. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it was your intention to guide our conversation and our consciousness through your preaching. It was your intention to show us the way. It was your intention to keep us from being deceived. And the enemy is very hard at work, working in areas of deception. And the agape love of God that believers have that would cause us to love one another and to love you. And through the example that we have of you loving us back, there's a clear warning that that is fading away. So God, help us, according to your word, to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. The renewing of our mind will change our understanding. Renewing of the mind and changing our understanding will change our speaking, our speech. What comes out of us will be different from what used to come out of us. So thank you for your word, Lord. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that we may prove what is that good and that acceptable and that perfect will of you, God. That's what we want to do. Help us to do that, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your blood. You've paid the price. You've broken the back of sin. And help us to make sure that we don't feed it a thing. We don't feed our flesh a thing. We feed our spirit. We feed our spirit. We feed our spirit. Thank you, Jesus. You're the answer. You're the way. And we love you, God. I'm just going to give you time to pray this morning. And that's how we'll close our service today.